God's people, let's turn in the Word to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll be reading the last few verses, Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Matthew 4, verses 23 through 25. And God's people, let's pray to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we come acknowledging our weakness, our many weaknesses, that You would now speak to us by Your grace alone. You would speak through Your Word that we read and hear preached. And as we hear and consider the great darknesses of this world as we consider this passage and Your attacks upon Satan and his servants, we ask that You would protect us from him and from his servants, that You would lead us in this time not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, in which we pray that Your Word going forth would be according to Your great plan of destroying Satan's kingdom and for the building up of Your kingdom, of Christ Your Son. Father, we ask this, pleading that You would protect us from the evil one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 4, verse 23. These are God's words. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Those are God's words. Jesus' ministry in Galilee, we read here, verse 23, He's traveling all over Galilee. You remember that Galilee is north of Jerusalem, north of Judea, and then north of Samaria. And that's where Galilee is, up by the Sea of Galilee, if you know your map of that region. And He's teaching and preaching, and preaching, beloved, is part of that office that Jesus fulfilled in His humiliation on the earth as a prophet. And so verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So He's teaching in their synagogues, and that teaching involved also preaching. And this was done in the synagogues throughout Galilee. Jewish synagogues, beloved, we don't really talk about them too much, but they were those places where the Jews gathered on the Sabbath. Now, every Lord's Day we gather in the church. The Jews gathered every Sabbath in the synagogues. And the temple, of course, was where the Jews went for the major feasts according to God's law, some only once per year, especially for the Day of Atonement. But each Sabbath, every other Sabbath, they're resting in the Lord. Their resting in the Lord consisted in going to the synagogue, their local assembly where the Word of God was read and expounded, where they prayed, where they sang psalms a cappella, as it's shown in throughout history of Jewish synagogues, as we do here. And that's why they were going, that's what they were doing in Galilee in the first century. So Jesus would go into the synagogues with the rest of the Jews and teach and preach from the Scriptures. That's what He's doing here. Our catechism says about Jesus as the prophet, Christ executed the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. He's fulfilling Deuteronomy 18 here in Matthew's gospel, where it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, and to him ye should listen." Every time we hear the preaching of God's word, beloved, hearken unto him. Listen to Jesus and receive his word with faith. But today, as much as we will look at Jesus as the prophet through Matthew's gospel, we'll see a lot of that. And we'll see a lot of what we have in these three verses throughout Matthew's gospel. It seems that we should be all the more prepared and equipped in discernment to see evil for what it truly is. And you read verses 23 and 24 now. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." And so above all things, we look at that and we see Jesus is the great physician. He is the great healer. And Jesus is he who's preaching, and he's healing all manner of these sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And everything in this passage we will see again. We'll see it again throughout Matthew's gospel, and we'll cover more of Jesus the prophet later and Jesus the healer later. But here we see that people started bringing to him all these sick people who had all these manner of diseases and torments, even those possessed of devils who had torments, it says. Lunatics. They brought him all these people because of his fame had spread to all the region, and Jesus healed them. You see that as he's preaching, and then as he's healing, going along with his preaching, then verse 25, the great multitudes of people, not only from Galilee were coming to him, but from the Decapolis to the north, and also from Jerusalem, from all Judea, and also to those people east of the Jordan River. And he healed them. We're going to see later that this confirms that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised in the prophets, the anointed one, the Christ. And yet most of the Jews refused to see this and eventually rebelled against him. What we're going to talk about in here, the topic this morning, where it's very necessary for us to hear that where many rebel against Christ. There are many who rebel against Christ that's often not spoken of in the Church of Jesus Christ. But we see them here, and they're real. People possessed of devils, demons, people who have torments, great sicknesses. And more specifically in our modern day, what we're looking at is describing those things. We're looking at the occult. That's not cult, C-U-L-T. That's occult, O-C-C-U-L-T. All right, we'll come back even to looking at specifically possession of demons later. But for today, looking at the occult. And this is information and to serve as a warning to gain discernment. This is why we need to hear this. Just as we needed to hear about cultural Marxism, which is the tool of the devil, we need to hear about this as well, because we see it all the time. And most of us probably have no idea what it is, and most of us probably have no idea how to respond to it as Christians and as God's people, and so we have to learn about it to be able to then turn to Christ and seek His power and healing. And so this is for discernment, this is for protection of ourselves, even from the schemes of the devil. Now the first thing we should do is distinguish between cult and occult. Most of us probably, or some of us might not know the difference. Cult is, C-U-L-T, cult is religious or spiritual in nature, and usually out in the open, and usually has some singular charismatic leader. Right? We think of our own, in our own town, IHOP, International House of Prayer, that's a cult. They have one charismatic leader, and not even a mile away from us. Cults are like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. Like that, they're out in the open. They're not trying to really hide much or most of what they are. The occult, O-C-C-U-L-T, refers to those belief systems that are generally hidden in mystery and not desired to be out in the open. And yet, what we're actually seeing in our day today is that they're coming more and more out into the open. The occult ends or tends to be engaged in the magical and the manipulation of reality and attaining lost or secret knowledge from the ancients. And while both are instruments of Satan, cults and occults, we are talking primarily of the occult today, O-C-C-U-L-T, that which is often hidden in mystery, dealing with magic and things like that. When we talk about demon possession, we are talking about the occult. And since we're not familiar with these things, we need to understand they're designed by Satan. That they are made to destroy the gospel and therefore destroy the church of Jesus Christ. That's their design. And so today, if you're a parent with kids in your home, you should be very watchful for the occult because your children can be very easily influenced by these. Because their design, the occult's design is to go after children. Because adults and parents are set in their ways, generally speaking, and so they go after the children. And so parents be very watchful. And all of us should. It's so prevalent in our society today, beloved. Many aspects of the occult have become now common or normal to our senses, and we probably, for the most part, we don't see it as occult or satanic. And so we have to address it. And we're not going to be exhaustive, of course, and it serves as a reminder, though, that Jesus Christ is King, and His Word, as He is the prophet, is what is needed today to handle or to deal with or interact with these sorts of peoples. Jesus Christ is the great healer, and we need His healing from our sins just as those who are in the occult. Jesus says, watch and pray. And today we're going to learn about what we need to watch out for, lest we too be tempted. Now, beloved, this world is very dark. It's very dark and so supremely wicked and sinful and covered with darkness that most of you, thankfully, you probably have never experienced these sort of things intimately. And we praise the Lord for that. But in studying the occult and studying demon possession, we can't go too far into the study. It's too dangerous to do so. But we need to do a little bit so that we can know, especially parents can know, so that the youth of the world who are often tempted to these things may be brought out. And just last week, my son, not this one, but the other one, we were riding into the car back home, and he was talking about what happened at Christian Homeschool Park Day, right? So they go to the park, they play with other kids, right? And he told me that one of the kids had asked him if he knew about a certain occult phenomenon. He told me that, and I looked it up, I had no clue what it was. And there it was, occult, darkness, it's on the internet. It's an internet phenomenon with kids today. And they talk about it I'm not going to mention a name, but they talk about it, and so then other kids go look, and they look up on the internet, and there it is, right in their face. And so it's the serpent, and we think about this. It's the serpent in the garden, Satan, who said in Genesis 3, verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And this verse tells us something about the occult. Turn from Jehovah. Say no to God and you will be like God. That tells you everything you need to know about the occult. Well, a lot of the things about the occult. That's what Satan wants. He loves about how so many people in this world, that they accept that lie. And you can become like God. Now here's what Jehovah commands His people. And if this were our nation, were a nation that has covenanted with Christ, if they were a Christian nation, then we would apply this, these words in Deuteronomy 18 to our nation today. But our nation has rejected these words. And so what do we find today is all these manners and forms of darkness all around us. Deuteronomy 18 says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do. Right, if we were a Christian nation, we would apply those principles. The Lord is very clear not to get into today horoscopes, astrology, signs, Ouija boards, right? Consulting familiar spirits with the animals, wizards, etc. They're an abomination to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 15, we learn about what rebellion is. It says, "For rebellion is as witchcraft." That teaches us about witchcraft. And the occult, rebellion. Rebellion against the Lord. The very heart of the occult is rebellion against Jehovah. Now, beloved, there is Satanism in the culture, in our culture, and throughout the world. Satan is depicted in movies as being, we could think of those of you who watch movies, as being evil or gnarly or ugly, monstrous. But sometimes he's also depicted as well-dressed. Like a seducer, subtle. Cartoons, you see him often dressed in red with horns and a pitchfork, which is a trident. In music, in my time and before, I don't know about today's music. I stopped listening to it. But in my time and before, you have groups, musical groups like AC/DC and Kiss and Ozzy Osbourne. Thrash metal, Shane, I don't know, Shane might know this though. You know that? He knows that. Thrash metal and death metal and things like that. So, beloved, there has been and yet still is Satanism in our culture. And these musical groups, we're often numb to these depictions that we are given by them, or which they show forth. Some of us are numb to the music because we think, well, it's just the music. And then you think of the words. Well, I don't listen to the words. You know, the often Christian excuse. I don't listen to the words. I love the music. The music's good, right? That's the often that we have that great, it's great music. But beloved, you need to know that those things are those things that lure you in, and especially kids, they lure the kids in so that they get entangled in that darkness. Lure people to darkness. You think of the difference of living a year listening to only the Psalms. You love music, well, listen to the Psalms. Think of a year listening to the Psalms only. And then compare that to singing about how I'm on the highway to hell. And you're singing along. Well, it's not the words. It's just the music I like. These are the things that Satan uses to lure you and lure your kids to darkness. But you go further into that music scene and you see that you learn about death metal and black metal. And you will see all the occult symbols being used on album covers. I don't even know if they have album covers anymore, but they have pictures on the website, whatever. They have the occult symbols being used. That's where you get these men dressed up with makeup, which is also by itself an abomination to the Lord, dressing up like a woman as a man, looking evil like wicked spirits. These groups are singing Their view is that they're singing hymns to Satan. And you've probably seen types of drawings before depicted on music albums like that, some of you. But that type of writing, if you see the children drawing things like these pictures, is a clear sign that they might be getting into, or they might be being lured into that Satan things that you get these symbols from death metal, which that music is a lure of Satan to get them down the rabbit hole of darkness. And some of you understand what I mean, others don't, and that's good. Don't worry about it. Or just try to. If you don't understand and you see these kids drawing some evil looking things, then you come and ask me. These things will look dark. They'll be black, focused on black and red, those kind of colors, and then they'll have like upside down crosses and things, upside down stars and things like that. But this type of music that we just talked about evolves in the 90s music. There was, in this death metal kind of music, they were getting to the point of just being right out in the open with and saying, kill Christians. Burn the churches down. And so it's more and more in our modern day being out in the open. You know, back in the time of my parents and some of you older people, you couldn't hear these things unless you turned your records back, you know, push the record backwards, right? And you'd hear these sounds. No, it's now more out in the open today. Now Satanism has different forms. One popular form in our nation is an atheistic Satanism. That means they don't really believe that Satan is real, but Satan represents something that is real. And what that boils down to is that we should be able to do whatever we want. Hedonism, you know, whatever you want to do, you can do. They are hedonistic anarchists. That's a good description of Satanism, or those who follow that. And yes, you think of all those anarchists on the West Coast that you see in the news anyway, in Portland, Seattle, that we've seen in the last few years. Note the colors that they wear, black and red. And they're doing whatever they want. And our nation is kind of allowing it. And these groups are into Satanism. And some of them might not even know that they're in it. But they're in it. And the root of them, the root of that, what they're doing is Satanism. Doing whatever they want. In Satanism, there is a magic practice, a greater magic. It's called greater magic. Are those ritual magic practices that focus on emotional energy? And lesser magic is that type of magic where psychology is used to manipulate people. So is magic real? You know, sometimes kids ask, well, is magic real? And sometimes we might say, well, it's just illusions, right? And a lot of that is just illusions or sleight of hand, things like that. But it's used to manipulate people, and it can be used then as manipulating the mind, but also the heart. And so is magic real? Yes, and it's evil. God says it's evil. And it's dark, and it's of Satan. Is magic the type of manipulating others use by the use of psychology real? Very much so, and that too is darkness. Some of you are familiar with Star Wars, right? The Force. It's used to manipulate the minds of people who are weaker than you. That's lesser magic. You go to a magic show, even similar to Roman Catholicism, but you go to a magic show and they put on this good show. They dress up in these clothes and then there's theatrics, there's lights and things like that. And you get to the smells and bells of Roman Catholicism, and you engage in people's senses and influence their senses and manipulate their senses and therefore their thoughts. And that today can be seen as well in the churches, can it? Mm-hmm. And their worship practices. Mm-hmm. Appealing to their emotion and their senses, and they're influencing them. And you can see that in especially in cults, like I'm trying to think of some, Hillsong, Bethel, IHOP does it,
Elevation,
thanks Shane, Elevation, They have this music that appeals to the senses, right? Just like the satanic kind of music. And it lures the people in. And then they hear the false teacher, the cult leader. Now, in Satanism, their symbol, one of the symbols they use is the pentagram. It's like an upside down five-pointed star, upside down. So the point is at the bottom, like the top of the star is at the bottom. And sometimes it has a goat's head in the middle of it, and with Hebrew letters around it that spells Leviathan. And if you study Satanism in the West, you'll find a lot of it comes actually from Nazi Germany. And we'll get into that a little bit, why that is a little bit later. From there, there was this saying, do what thou wilt. And in, of course, modern language, do what you want. Do what you want. That's what we see today in the anarchists that we just talked about, which led to what you find in the 60s and 70s with hippies and the peace movement. And from there you'll find, Charles Manson is a good example, who manipulated minds. That's the lesser magic, right? He manipulated minds to do what he wanted done. And from there the Green Movement is actually part of this, right? The Green Movement. Remember the Green Movement, now the Climate Movement, we would probably say, all of that is based in Satanism. And really based off of Charles Manson being a good example to these other people of how to manipulate people. And think of how prevalent these thoughts are in our modern society. And you do you, I'll do me. That's Satanism. Right? You be you, I'll be me. We can do what we want. That's Satanism. That thought is based in Satanism. Satanism is all about indulgence and vengeance. Another aspect of Satanism is what is called the Satanic Temple. That's what we see a lot today in the public square. These you won't see them by name. They won't say that name. But you see it in everyone who's trying to stop religion from getting into the government or schools. And so if there's a Ten Commandments, a monument outside a courthouse, they're there suing the city or the county to get that removed. Or at least to get an equal a statue or monument for themselves. Because they're there to suppress religion. They are there to exalt secularism. And their goal is to not let Christians take over the government and claim the government as their own. Which means what? They're opposed to Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings. The King of all nations. And so you see their wickedness, though they are much more tame than other satanic groups, this type of Satanism is the fruit of the First Amendment. Allowed by it. And our covenant, our forefathers who fought against the First Amendment were right from the beginning. They said the Constitution is going to open up the door to all sorts of false religions. And that's what has happened today. And so instead of the Ten Commandments, they're placing this goat man looking monument with the pentagram behind him and two children standing gazing at him. At this goat man. Who's supposed to be Satan. And why are the two children there? It's because the goal behind Satanism is to influence and convert their children to that. That's the goal. And so there are those who believe as well, another part of Satanism, that Satan is real. The goal here being in Satanism. The goal here to seek self-deification. To make yourself God. To attain immortality of consciousness. And in that way, no different than Mormonism, no different than New Age philosophers or religions. And then we keep going. There's black magic. Probably heard of that. It's focused on the individual wants and is very dangerous. There's white magic that is much like Hinduism, focused on what nature wants. All to exalt self to be God. Whether it's self being God or you one being with nature, as nature and everything in nature is God, which would make you that as well. Now all these are wicked. All these are rebel against Jehovah and against Jesus Christ the King. And yet we need to be aware the various groups are multiplying exponentially today, and so we need to know the roots. Kind of like we needed to know about same-sex attraction and critical race theory. We need to know the roots of that cultural Marxism and the greater roots of that, again, Satan, Genesis 3. And it's the same here. We need to know the roots. And so now magic and the occult is by no means merely modern, it's historical. We see it throughout history. It's addressed and found as an abomination throughout all of Scripture. And yet the occult is sort of, still, sort of hidden, mysterious to the general public and many adults. It probably looks scary, but it's all smoke and mirrors, right? That's kind of the goal of manipulating the mind. That you would be convinced of the lies. And yet, they're lies, and God is true. But wherever you see the pentagram, beloved, like the upside down star, you're dealing with Satanism and dark magic. There's other groups of the occult, and there are many symbols to whichever each of these groups that you'll see around. They have different symbols. There's the Nazi symbol. And remember, we made mention of that. The Nazi party was transitioned by Hitler from a German occult group. Most of you probably didn't know that. It came from a German occult group, and they made it a political party. And that's why before World War II, what were the Nazis doing? They were going all over the world to find these various symbols and art and things like that. And this is even depicted in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? They're going around trying to get a sense of all the magic that there is in the world so that they could take over the world. And those who hold forth the Nazi symbol today are still those dabbling in the occult. They're not just white supremacists, right? They're in the occult. And then you have one of the most wicked men. Now, Hitler was really wicked. But this man was much more wicked. And I'm not even going to mention his name. But he was part of the occult group, an occult group, which had another member in that group who was the author of Dracula, right? And they practiced also tarot card reading and astrology and things like that. You think some of those things are harmless? Well, think again, beloved. They're wickedness. They're from Satan. Ouija boards. I remember as a kid I played on Ouija boards. Our parents had gotten me and my sister that. But this is all the same thing. It's Satanism. And from this, beloved, comes Scientology today. And then there are Wiccans and Neo-Pagans. Wicca is an organized religion, so it's kind of a little different than the occult, and it's very similar to the occult, but it's organized. It's an organized religion based off of an ancient witchcraft, and their symbol is not an upside-down pentagram or a pentagram, but it's a right-side-up one. And they like to portray themselves as light and good and sunshiny, joy, things like that. And this is distinct from Wicca. They practice witchcraft, but they distinguish themselves from witchcraft. Witchcraft is not a religion, it's a tool. It's a thing that people do. And Wicca is basically whatever works for you kind of a thing. Applying witchcraft. Now, Wicca mainly attracts women. It attracts a lot of women because Wicca is huge into the homeopathic care. And it attracts a lot of women because of that. And so there's a focus on the use of essential oils and incense and cleaning the air. They're all into it. And all those things that we just mentioned, like essential oils. I know people here use essential oils. Essential oils are not evil of themselves. It's just that a lot of Wiccans use those things. And so, however, I want the women, especially the women, to be warned. Be warned about this. Be careful. Be watchful. Some of you have probably been, if the Nichols family probably, has probably been around essential oils so much that you've probably come into contact with some weird people. Is that true? Yeah, and I have too. And they might well be Wiccans seeking to practice witchcraft. And there's some weird practices some of you may have come into contact with what they have been doing. There's even a Reformed pastor's wife who got into essential oils and stuff like that. And then eventually, because of the people she was coming into contact with, she was drawn into Wicca. And she became Wiccan. And she divorced her husband and things like that. And recently, there's at least reports of this Young Living Essential Oils founder who is Mormon, endorsed a book of one of their customers wrote, and the book was filled with New Age occult philosophies. Yeah. Right? And some of you might have heard about that. But do you think you are strong of yourself to withstand these things? Flee from the unbiblical practices, right? God has made good things in this world, and that should be used for health, absolutely. But do not worship those things. That's where the Wicca people and other pagans go wrong. They start worshiping those things. They start seeing these things as God, that they're the most important thing for life and health. But do not worship them. Focus every aspect on Christ, your Savior and your healer. Now, Wicca is based out of those pagan religions in Ireland and Scotland and Wales, and they believe that mankind is not superior to nature and earth. It's kind of what we were talking about with the Hindus, Hinduism and that nature is God, basically, right? And so mankind is not superior to nature or the earth, and so they're part of being God or divine. That's what they say. It's false, of course. And that's contrary to what the Lord says, that man has been given authority by God, authority over and dominion over the earth. And so it's a rebellion against the Lord so that you can become like God. Just like Genesis 3, verse 5. In Satanism, you're seeking to be God yourself. You are greater than all. Wicca would say, no. We are no different than the rest of creation, the dirt, etc. We're one of many parts of the world, both seen and unseen, that is divine. And Wiccans believe that the spirit of the one, goddess and God, the spirit of the one exists in all things. In other words, every part of the earth is part of the divine, and so they must treat it so. So that's where you get what? The green movement, the climate people, the Charles Manson kind of thing. That's Wiccan. And where Satanism is dark and all dark and gloomy pictures of Wiccans is all light, flowers, and sunlight. But we remember 2 Corinthians 11. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So Satanism is wicked. Wicca is also wicked. And Satan appearing in light and beautiful things, beloved, all to what? Deceive. And he has deceived many doing this. So witchcraft, remember where we started, is rebellion. The things, this brings us to witchcraft proper, the spells and potions that are really focused on natural remedies placed on this earth instead of using synthetic drugs, at least in modern day. And again, many of this congregation we need to be careful of what we're dabbling in, and a lot of people, you know, against vaccines, right? Against vaccines, not all people, but a lot of those people, or some of those people, are practicing witchcraft. Because they're all about the natural and against the synthetic. So be careful who you're listening to, who you're taking advice from. It's not saying that being against vaccines is bad, but be careful who you're listening to. And all of those groups are of the occult. All of them will teach you that if you let go of your humanity, you can tap into divinity. You can tap into the divine. That we are divine. And what does God say? Genesis 3:5. For God doth know that in a day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's all self-centered. It's pride and lust. And that's the center of the occult, wanting to be God or like God in some way. But above all things, all of these things are reinventions of the old Gnostic heresy. None of this is new. Gnosticism is the pursuit of secret knowledge once revealed or revealed by spiritual beings to achieve power and immortality. Gnosticism exalts the spiritual and wants to get rid of the physical, and yet God tells us and shows us we are body and soul. And this is everywhere today. Everywhere, beloved, if you're dealing with darkness in the occult, and if you are dealing with a form of Gnosticism, you're dealing with a form of Gnosticism repackaged in many, in new clothes, in many ways. And this Gnosticism creeps into the church, as we have already talked about, has many times. Remember, we also spoke a little bit about Hinduism and the deification of nature. Beloved, yoga comes from Hinduism and is closely tied with the occult. Trying to center yourself in nature, right? Its goal is to show and come to the realization that you're part of the divine nature. That's what yoga is. You practice yoga, and some people will say, well, that's perfectly fine. I'm just practicing. I'm just exercising. You're being caught up in the occult and Gnosticism. It's all about centering yourself on creation. You're being, of course, what is that? That's witchcraft. That's what that is. Freemasonry is Gnosticism. Dream catchers. Personality tests. Some of you probably haven't thought of that. Personality tests like Myers-Briggs is based on the occult. Look into the origin of personality tests. And psychology. Same thing. Crystals. Even the UFO craze that has happened recently. Based on the occult. Even divining. Any of you heard of divining? Sounds bad, but it should sound bad to you. It's when you want to dig a well. And a lot of those well diggers use what's called divining to find water. Seems, if you do it, it seems kind of simple. Seems natural based on maybe magnetic poles. But know where those things came from. They came from the occult. Maybe you just research yourselves the origins of that. It's a repackaging of Gnosticism. Many psychologists today of the 19th and 20th centuries dabbled in the occult, in which modern psychology is now based off of. And isn't focused on counseling by God's Word, of course, but focused on self. Again, Genesis 3:5, you can be like God. Palm reading, Enneagrams, all based on the occult. Anything that comes out of the New Age movement or a subset of neo-paganism, all these come out of the occult. And it's all over our nation. We see it all the time. And this goes on, you can guess, to polytheism, and we essentially already covered that. Animism, pantheism. If you want to look into these things more and how Christians can then witness then to such people, there's a video that I'll send out by email to all of you this week, and hopefully that'll be helpful if you want to watch that. But now, someone also, I talked to one of you yesterday about a popular to some of you, he's a conservative, he quotes the Bible. You remember, so did Satan, and he twisted it. But this man is neo-pagan, or at least he's been known as a neo-pagan, and his name is Jordan Peterson. And asked if he's a Christian, he said yes. And then asked if God is real, and Peter's this man said no, but I'm afraid he might be. That's a neo-pagan. And then later, it seems maybe he repented of this, and yet, how is he speaking still? He's speaking very philosophically. As an academic who understands the Christian worldview and is logical and upholds true freedom, and yet hasn't joined the Bride of Christ. He does not say emphatically and clearly he's a believer. Might be. But be warned of this man. Be warned of him. And even if you disagree with that assessment, you think he's a Christian, then remember this. What fool is going to sit at a new believer's feet to learn the ways of the world? Think of that. And so be warned. Now, bringing it back to our gracious God, who alone is God, Jehovah, that we are not seeking to be little gods, are we? But what we do have is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in the interacting with such people like Satanists, the occult, Gnosticism, we have a God who calls even them to repentance. That's what He does. Today is the day, even such as these, today is their day. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's here. And Jesus was going around, and these people, as His fame spread, were bringing all these crazy kind of people. Schizophrenics. Right? Those kinds of people with all these disorders. Lunatics. Possessed of demons. Not possessed of Satan. Possessed of demons. But why can't they be possessed of Satan? Because Satan is an individual. And he's not omnipresent. You can only be in one place at one time. And so demons, his servants, the true fallen angels who serve Satan all over the world. And so they're demon possessed. And at those times, the demons enter into the wicked. And as they do, that absolutely still happens today, beloved. That still happens today. And all you have to do is talk to that man right over there, and he'll give you examples of that. And we could probably see them in our own culture today. Very easily, if we just considered what we're looking at. And if we knew what we've learned today. But it's alone in Jesus Christ that such people can be delivered and healed. If we use the correct terms of the occult and of what psychology says, it's like schizophrenia, multiple personalities. If we use biblical language, we would say demon-possessed lunatics, people like this. Torments, people who are filled with torments. That's what God called them, and they can be healed. As we look to Jesus Christ, these people can be healed. Give them drugs, people say, or give them this or that, and then, or put them into an institution. No, Jesus Christ must come and deliver them. And He can deliver them and heal them of such diseases like this, or possessed of devils and torments, and bring them into His kingdom. That's how powerful our God is. And that's how powerful Jesus is. Because He's been granted all authority in heaven and on earth, because He alone is the God-man. And so He calls you today, you, to come freely to Him and believe the gospel. You may think, I can become like God. I can pursue my pleasures and my joys, but that will lead alone to the occult. False religions of the world, and that leads you to an eternity of destruction. But Christ is offered. Christ is offered to you today as the Savior who can save you from all of your sins and troubles and even an eternity of destruction, and grant you in Him alone life forever. Christian, you're in Christ. And so turn from your sins today. Perhaps some of you have dabbled and are still dabbling in these things. Turn from them today. Otherwise, you may be taken down eventually. Just like the pastor's wife, right? Be on the watch. Be watchful and pray, lest you too be tempted. And how do we watch out? We know what is evil and we turn from it. We don't keep going into that way. We turn from it. We cut it off, like Jesus is about to say in the Sermon on the Mount. It's very easy to be drawn into these little harmless looking occult practices and be drawn in. The Lord says, watch and pray. And if you're in these things, flee them immediately, lest you be found fleeing and rebelling against Jesus Christ. Flee to Christ today. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We know that these are things we need to know and learn about to be discerning. And yet we don't really need to go that much further into them. We don't need to study that much more. That is sufficient. But Father, we pray that You would give us hearts that have only one desire, and that is Christ. And all these things that we might be practicing or enjoying, that we would flee from them and turn to Christ, Your Son alone. For He gives us all that we need, supplying our every need. And Father, keep us from evil. Keep us from these demons and Satan and going in those ways. And then, Father, we pray for wisdom in evangelism. And we would not fear these creatures, these people, who may be demon-possessed, though they might overpower us physically. May it be that they would not overpower us spiritually, that we would be held and kept by You, and that Your gospel would even go to the casting out of demons and the healing of diseases and torments and these lunatics that we see. Father, give us eyes to see the truth and eyes to see Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.